All right, thank you very much. And hello again, radio friends. How in the world are you? You doing all right today? Yes, I wait for you to answer because I know many of you do. It's kind of a little routine that you and I have, isn't it? And although I can't see you or hear you, I know you're there. And for my part, I pray every time I approach the microphone that God may put his truth and his love and his power into what's said so that there's something there that you can get hold of. May that be true again today. Peter is talking to the distaff side of the house, the wives, in chapter 3 of 1 Peter. And for our purposes, the key word here is one. You're to win people, not arguments. If any husband obey not the word, they may also without the word be won, W-O-N, by the lifestyle of the wives. Your job is not to win the argument, but to win the person for Christ. And if your husband is a believer, the two of you are living step by step together in the will of God, your job, dear lady, is to nurture and encourage and help him to grow. I'm just reading a book by a famous psychiatrist who says that love is not a feeling but a determination to do what helps the other person grow. That's not a bad definition when you come down to it. Not to win the argument, but to win the person for the Lord and to see him or her growing in the things of God. Now, he uses the word behold, and that reminds me, husbands and wives, that your spouse is always watching you, whether or not you know it. They're always observing what really is important in your life. Think about that for a while, and you'll realize that it's a very serious matter indeed. We are always being watched by somebody, and in the case of husbands and wives, there never is a time when you can say, well, it doesn't matter now. I can be cross now. I can be selfish now. I can be greedy now. I can be resentful now. I can demand my own way now because it doesn't matter. It's just us. No, that isn't true. It always matters. And every time I'm careless, every time I speak out of turn, every time I follow my own desires rather than seeking the good and the blessing and the growth of another, I'm leaving a certain amount of damage and scar tissue that will be there for the rest of our lives. Oh yes, there's forgiveness, but like driving the nail into the fence post, which the little boy had to do every time he disobeyed or told a lie, you can pull out the nails, but the holes remain in the fence post. So life is a serious business. Everything matters. And people do watch. That's the impact of that word behold, while they behold your holy lifestyle coupled with respect. Now, let me just, ladies, not to beat this whole matter into the ground and bore you with dwelling on it too long, but just let me run down, if I may, the different aspects of a wife whose life wins others for the Lord. May I do that? He says they look at your holy lifestyle. Chaste is modified in verse 5, by holy. In this manner, in the old time, the holy women also. Your holy lifestyle. A life that exhibits the presence and blessing and holiness of God. You really are the center around which all of the activities of your home revolve. Dear lady, and your life then needs to be so close to God that at any point while someone observes you, be it your husband or anyone else, they'd be able to sense the presence of Almighty God in your life, holy lifestyle. then respect your holy lifestyle coupled with respect. That word fear is that you're not afraid, because he says down later in verse 6, don't be afraid. So it's not a matter of being afraid of the man. It's respect. Many a husband labors under a burden of hurt, not to say resentment, because his wife looks down on him. She's smarter, or she's abler, or she has better connections, or her folks were richer, or whatever it may be. Or if both of them work, she makes more money than he, and she looks down, and if there's ever an argument, she says, well, I'm worth a lot more than you are, evidently. You can't bring home anything more than $18,000 a year, and I'm making $50,000, that sort of a thing. Now, watch yourself on that, friends, and that goes both ways. Husbands, it seems to me, do well to respect their wives as a valuable human being. And the value of a human being is based not on what he or she makes, or not necessarily on the IQ level of how smart he or she may be. The value of a person is that he or she is an eternal soul, and a person that is absolutely unique. There isn't anybody else in all the world just like that one person. And you value them, therefore, and you respect them. A marriage counselor, a friend of mine, and this goes back a good many years, but I remember it so clearly. He said a man came to him, and he said, I've got to have a divorce. I have to have a divorce. I can't stand it any longer. Well, he said, tell me about your wife. Does she run around on you? Is she unfaithful to you? Oh, no, he said, I never give that a thought. She is absolutely faithful. I never need to worry about that. Well, he said, is she careless about her person? Is she sloppy and all of that? No, he said, she's a pretty good looker. Well, he said to the man, is she a poor housekeeper? Is the house a disaster? Oh, no, the house is neat as a pin. Well, he said, is she a poor cook? Does she serve you canned food and TV dinners all the time? Is she a poor cook? Oh, no, she's a wonderful cook. Well, my friend said, now let's see. You've told me that your wife is faithful to you, that she is good-looking, that she keeps herself neat and clean, that she's a good housekeeper, and that she's a good cook. How about that? Maybe you ought to think again about her. And the man looked up with surprise. He says, you know, I never thought of that. He changed his point of view. Well, most of our criticism of our spouses is based on little stuff that irritates. Isn't that true? When you come right down to it. And so, respect. You don't have to put a person on a pedestal. Just respect him for what he is, and for what God is doing in his life, and the potential that is there. Many of us never reach our potential, either because we don't care or somebody else doesn't care to encourage us to do so. I think back in my own life, and I certainly am indebted to some of the dear friends who encouraged me to go on and to do more than I thought I could. And I got thereby a principle that I've used all the rest of my life. You can always do more than you think you can if you get at it. There's a great potential in every one of us that is as yet unrealized. So have at it. But respect. Holy lifestyle coupled with respect for the other person. Then a beauty that doesn't depend upon what you wear but upon what you are. You're adorning. That means the attempt to make yourself beautiful. He says, not what you do with your hair or what you wear or your jewelry, but he says, the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which God values as being of great price. Now, does that say that you shouldn't have a pretty dress, ladies, or that you shouldn't wear a ring, or that that you shouldn't have your hair done? No, I don't think it says that. Excuse me, if I'm wrong, you can straighten me out when we get to heaven. But it seems to me that what Peter is saying, don't depend on that to make you really attractive. Don't depend upon what you can put on yourself to make you really attractive. It's the person that lives inside of you that determines real beauty. I recall visiting a leper colony years ago, and some of these dear people had been hideously deformed by that terrible disease of leprosy. But I remember one person in particular who could only hold out to me a stub of what used to be a hand, and face, nose, and cheekbones had been deformed, so that it was not a pretty face, and the hand, of course, as I say, was just a stub. But the Holy Spirit of God was in that person, and the shine of heaven was on that life, and I remember thinking, what a beautiful person that is. Some wag has said, if beauty is only skin deep, some people need to be skinned. But the fact of the matter is that nothing you could put on yourself will hide a mean spirit. Nothing that you can wear will hide a lustful heart. Nothing that you can apply by way of cosmetic change to the outside of your body will hide a selfish mind. See, we have to have something inside that is heavenly if we're to have any beauty outside that is genuine. Do you get that? We have to have something inside of us that is heavenly if there's going to be anything outside that appears really to be genuinely beautiful. Now, he talked about Sarah as an example, and he said there were certain things that characterize anybody who'd like to imitate her, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid. Do the right thing, but be fearless. There is nothing in the Bible that says you have to crawl and creep and be the victim of a craven fear of your husband or anybody else. See? So what does he say now? Our time is gone, and I want to wrap this up. A holy lifestyle, coupled with respect, inner beauty that comes from God's presence, do well, do the right thing, and don't be afraid of anybody. That's for you, dear lady, if you want to win others for Jesus. Dear Father, help us to be the kind of people that are beautiful inside so that you can shine out. In Jesus' name, amen. Till I meet you once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.
You've just heard Walk with the King, the ministry of Dr. Robert A. Cook. This program is listener supported. For more information or to find out how you can help contribute to this ministry, write to us at Walk with the King, P.O. Box 43, Trumbull, Connecticut, 06611, or visit us on the web at walkwiththeking.org. Thank you for your support of this ministry. This has been broadcast number 7159. Thank you for listening to Walk with the King.